I want to, how many of you remember that I've been doing a series called It's Your Move? Actually, it's from my book, It's Your Move. And so each part stands alone. So if you didn't hear the other parts, it doesn't make any difference because each part stands alone on its own. We want to talk about position to win tonight. Position to win. Turn to 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. We're going to start reading with the sixth verse in 1 Samuel 14. I'll wait till everybody gets there, either on your iPad, your iPhone, or your hard copy Bible. I got it. I got my Bible. I got it already. Hey, that's the good thing about, I just write the scripture, then I have to go look it up, when I used to do the messages. But now with the computer, you can go cut and paste, and you got them all right here, and you don't have to turn all the pages, So I have to wait for y'all to find it. And then I got them here, and I got all kinds of translations. That's one of the things I like about having it on the iPhone or iPad, because you can have a whole bunch of different translations right there at once. You know, when I first started preaching back in 1958 and then in the 60s, I'd have three or four different or five or six different translations of the Bible and a couple of commentaries and all this stuff all laying all over in an 8.5 by 11 sheet, and I'm writing it out. Brother John knows what I'm talking about. He's been there, done that. All right, here we go. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, or his armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, and here am I with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we'll show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we'll go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand. This will be a sign to us." Now, Jonathan had an attitude here that we need to get a hold of. You see, all the Israelites were camped down there. The Philistines had them all hemmed in, and they were just sitting around defeated. And he copped an attitude. And I'm talking about an attitude that says, I'm not gonna sit here till I die. I'm going to do something about it. And that's what we need to do. We need to realize that we have the authority to take a hold of things with God's word and do something about it. We don't have to sit there and be defeated by the enemy. But you have to position yourself to win. You have to put yourself in a position to win. I know, how many of you guys played football? How many of you played basketball or baseball, or softball, I guess? It's important that if you're going to win, you got to put yourself in the right position. Each player has to be in the right position. One of the hardest, if you're playing, especially if you're playing defensive end, I've been there, you're over here playing defensive end, and you go across the line and you wait, and everything's going that direction. You want to go chasing after it, but if you cut across like this, then if they reverse and come back, you're out of position, and they're going to make a long run because you're not in position. You got to position yourself to win. Now, when Jonathan here advanced toward the enemy with faith in Jehovah God, then God began to move. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says that the apostle says that what happened to the children of Israel happened an example for us. Now, the Israelites had to possess the promised land. We have to possess what belongs to us in Christ. The Israelites were you read the Old Testament, they're in a continual fight with the Philistines or somebody. Somebody was always trying to take their land away from them, and they're still trying to do that today. The same thing happens to us spiritually. The enemy, the devil himself, wants to take your blessings away from you. Now, you can go sit down under the tree and say, oh, Lord, please deliver me. And you're praying a prayer that's unanswerable. I didn't say you weren't supposed to pray. I said that kind of prayer is unanswerable because God has already delivered you. He's told you in the Word what to do. You know, here's what you need to say. Lord, I'm in a tough situation. The enemy has me hemmed in on every side. I'm going to rise up with confidence, believing your Word and believing that you're going to see me through. You know, see, here, Jonathan, and we look at him. He didn't know exactly which way to go. He didn't know what to do. Let's read it here in starting with verse 8. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men. We'll show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand. This will be a sign to us. Now, what he's saying here, in essence, he's saying, hey, if they tell us to come up, then we know that the Lord is going, that's what he wants us to do, and that's the way we need to go. You see, he realized that somebody had to do something or they're going to be defeated. So, as he proceeded to do something about it. Now, when he started out, he didn't know what God wanted him to do. So he said, hey, if they tell us to come up, we're going to do this. If they tell us to stand still, we're going to do this. He didn't know which way God wanted them to go. All he knew was that he was going to do, he was believing that his Lord Jehovah would set him free. And we believe that God will help us in our time of need. He proceeded to do something about the situation. He did not specifically know what to do until he made a move. Now, you know, sometimes we need to begin to move with God before he begins to move for us. You remember the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul at that time, on the road to Damascus when he had his conversion experience. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? Well, I got four people raised their hand. Now, I'm going to ask that question again. Anybody ever read that story in the Bible? Oh, yeah, no, that's better. Okay. See, y'all just didn't want to raise your hand, that's all. Maybe you're like the guy in the church. And so they were voting on something, and everybody and all the people in the whole church raised their hands except one man. And the pastor asked him, said, well, now, how come you're against this? Oh, he said, I'm not against it. I just don't want anything to be 100%. So he didn't raise his hand. You know, when Saul was on the road there and he had his conversion, the Lord told him, said, go in the city and it'll be told you what to do. Well, why couldn't God tell him what to do right there? He was there. He was meeting him. He was talking to him. But see, you got to follow God with faith. And so Jonathan just knew that he had to do something, but he didn't know what to do. But when he moved out, after he moved into action, then God went into action. Sometimes we have to move. See, we need to ask God sometimes. As we move, God will reveal to us which way to go, what to do about something. Sometimes you don't exactly know how to do it, but you got to move with God. Move with the Word. The Word says, you know, we sometimes sit still until we're defeated because we don't do anything. Remember the story in the Old Testament where the four leper men were sitting outside the gate? And because the enemy had the place surrounded, and they finally, one of them said, well, why do we sit here till we die? If we stay here, we're going to die because we don't have anything to eat. And they're not going to let us inside the city because we got leprosy. So they said, we're going to go down to the enemy's camp. One guy said, at least all they can do is kill us and we're going to die anyway. Hello? So they went down there, and because these four guys went down there, it started a great stir, and the armies killed one another, and so they went back and told the people in the city, and everybody would rejoice because they had a great victory. But they had a great victory because somebody was willing to get up and do something. See, you got to step out in faith if you're going to take your blessing. Now go on down there in 13 to 14 of this 14th chapter. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they climbed up the cliff. And the Philistines fled before Jonathan as he came after them, and his armor bearer killed them. At the first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within about a half acre. Now it says here within the first slaughter, so there must have been some more. Here we see two guys go into the camp. Once they get in there, God helps them, and they destroy these guys. And then the Philistine garrison, they start looking around. They see only see two people, but they see all the carnage from what the two had done. They don't know whether there's two or whether there's 200 of them or 2,000 of them. They don't know. And so they begin to get all upset. And it just takes going into action to get something to happen. And so when Jonathan and them had done this, they continued to fight these people. Now go down into 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16. Let's go there. And there was trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. And the garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earthquake, so that there was a great trembling. Now the watchman of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked there, was a multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Now two Hebrew men in the middle of the garrison started a ruckus that caused the Philistine camp to go into disarray. And so now they're confused. They start fighting among themselves. And then the Bible says that there had been some of the Hebrews that had turned traitor and had gone over to the Philistines. Now they turned, on the Philistines. And there's a big deal going on. You know, that's like a lot of people, in the church one time, not here or not over in Broken Arrow, but when I was associate pastor, we're going to do some building project. And so everybody is for it, but there's a few people wasn't for it. Why are we doing that? Why we don't need that? Blah, 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 blah. You know how they do. Now it all gets finished. We have an opening day. And they invite their friends and say, oh, come and go. Come and see what we've done. We didn't do nothing but gripe about it. That's these guys. See, they went in with the enemy. Now they turn around. Look, we got a big victory. They really didn't have a lot to do with it except right toward the end. Now, I want you to notice these people in the Philistine camp, they didn't know how many people was there, anything else. And so it ended up a great victory for Israel, but it started with two people that were willing to step out in faith on Jehovah God. Now, we got a lot more revelation than they had. We got the Word of God. It takes us to step out on the Word of God. If you go on reading there, you'll find out that Saul and the others down there in the camp, they heard all the noise coming from the camp up there at Michmash. And they begin to realize it, that this was not the sound of the enemy attacking, but this is the sound the enemy being defeated. Now the rest of the Israelites, the ones that have been sitting there defeated, they all jumped up and they run down there and they get in on the tail end of the fight and in the battle. The battle really was won not by the whole group. The battle was won because two people, especially Jonathan, was willing to appropriate a victory. What does the word appropriate mean? It means to take. Notice that Jonathan moved out to take something. You need to know that you're going to have to fight battles in this Christian life. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You're going to have to claim your ground. Remember the word of God said, told them that everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, it shall be yours. That was the Israelites. See, the Israelites claiming the promised land is like us claiming our Christian walk. That's us. See, we've got to go in. We had to go in and kick the enemy out. We got to kick the enemy out, and then we got to keep him out because he's going to try to come in and steal what belongs to us. See, we've got to get out and move with the Word of God. I'm not talking about moving with what somebody else said or what some preacher said or this. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that we've been healed. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. What does the Bible say? My dad was famous for always people asking, well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And for some of you that don't know, Dad actually was a pretty famous preacher in his day. Some of you, how many of you knew him or ever heard him? I mean, many of you have. But you go up and ask him, well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? He never would give you an opinion. He would say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? See, we need to get a hold of what the Bible says and then move with the Word of God. Move with God's Word. Now, Jonathan identified the obstacle. And then he went to conquer it. You know, before we can move out and appropriate our victory, we got to understand what it is that's our problem. We got to understand our problem. You know, sometimes people just pray. They just praying in general. No, you got to be specific. I remember when I was a kid, Dad pastored churches, and he used to in the church say, how many of you remember they used to have altars in churches where you went down to the front and prayed? How many of you remember that? And he used to go down there and he'd tap people and say, what are you praying for? Oh, Brother Hagin, nothing in particular. He said, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. When you go with God, you need to be specific. Got my tangled tongue, didn't I? But before you can be specific with God, you got to know what this Bible says. That's why it's so important to study the Word. To know what the Bible says, so you'll know what you're doing. Hey, before you can move out and win a victory, you got to know what your obstacle is. You got to define it, and then you got to conquer it. You know, it may be a reoccurring harmful habit. It may be temptation. It may be sickness. It may be disease. Maybe you feel like you're always the victim. Maybe you're unemployed. I don't know. Maybe many people feel like they're inadequate in education, and that just causes them to sit by and do nothing. Sit down and accept life and let it be. Maybe you've lacked opportunities. I don't know. But with God, you can overcome and triumph in every situation. God wants us to be successful. He says, Paul says it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay? You know, there's a guy, he used to talk to me years and years and years ago, and he'd complain. Well, if I just had the right education, I could really move up the ladder. I could really do something. And finally, I got tired of hearing it. And I said, hey, there's night school right down the street from you. You can go down there and you can take classes. He didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to better himself. He just wanted to complain. Hello. Come on. Some people just sit around and cry and complain all the time. Well, the devil's taking advantage of me and so forth. Well, get up and do something about it. Get in the Word of God. See what the Word of God has to say and do something about it. You see, you got to believe that God is going to meet you. Jonathan was willing to take bold action. He was willing to exercise his faith in his Jehovah God and went out and did something about it. Not only did he deliver his own self, he delivered the whole bunch of them. You know, Paul says it like this: I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, you may not believe this, but I do. I honestly believe that there's not a Christian anywhere who can't succeed in life and do all things through Christ which strengthens him. That's what the Bible said. All things. It didn't say spiritual things. Now, that's included, but all things includes the natural as well as the supernatural. You know, if you're up for a promotion, you can do it. It doesn't matter whether your resume says you're qualified or not. If the employer offers it, then you can do all things through Christ. If you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, ask and he'll give it to you. A buddy, I grew up with him down in Garland, Texas, and he went to work for a company right out of high school. He didn't go to college. Now, a promotion came open that called for a college education. But his supervisor went to the big boss and said, hey, I believe this guy can do it. He's been working here. He knows the system and so forth. So they called him in and offered him a promotion. And then they began to try to discourage him by telling him he didn't have the education and blah, 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 didn't meet the qualifications. When they all got through talking, he said, well, I think I can do it. I'll take the job. You know, and what he understood was that he could read and he could study and he could do the job. Anyway, he knew it anyway. So later on, the main boss said that told him, you've done a better job than anybody's ever done this, even those that had supposedly had the proper education. He was promoted several times after that. You know, your personnel manual may say you're not qualified, yet he did the job. Hey, you can do the job. But it's if you believe God. And not only believe God, but are willing to get up and take action. It's one thing to talk about what God's word said. It's another thing to go out and do what God's word says. You know, this morning when Brent texted me with this situation they had down there, and he said, you know, and I texted him back. I said, just another chance to prove, to practice what we preach. I've had to do it all the time. In fact, we were one and a half miles on Thursday night in Tel Aviv when they had the shooting at the, we were only 1.5 miles from there. Right there in Israel, you know. And Craig, my phone began to buzz, and we were sitting talking with some friends of ours that live in Israel. Actually, they sponsored us to bring our, so we could land our aircraft there. I've known, it was actually Gordon Lindsay's daughter. She took the name Shara. She's married to an Israeli, Ari. And their phone started buzzing and saying, you know, the alert and so forth and so on. But you know what? We didn't jump up and start running or doing anything. I just sat there and, hey, you know, I believe God. I ask for protection every day. Yeah. And I believe God, and I believe I'll get protection. Now, you got to also be wise, but you also got to trust God. And there are sometimes you have to. I was in Africa, me and one of my friends that I had taken with me, and we got dumped out on the side. We were in a little private aircraft that we rented in the main city, and they were gonna fly us to the other, and then we started to land there, and there was a thunderstorm, and so he just turned around. You know, by a little one in Piper, one of those Cessnas, what, 172, 182, you know. single engine, four-seater. And so he landed on a grass strip beside of a highway, and he said, "Hey, y'all get out. I'm going to beat this storm back to the main city. Y'all get out there, flag a ride down, and go into this town up here." And he called the name of the town, and there you can get transportation and take you on over to the other city. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I hadn't been to sleep since I left New York City, because you flew all night and flew to London, and then you had to wait all day and fly all night, you know, wait in the airport and then fly all night to get to down to Africa. Now he dumps us out on the side of a road, and we don't know where we're at, you know, and there we are. Now here is two white guys in the middle of Africa. Now, I'm talking about 1978. So these people, I don't know where they... Well, actually, first of all, there was a girl or a young lady, I don't know. She come out from the bush, or bushes and stuff, started pointing at us and yelling. And all of a sudden, man, these people was coming out from the bushes and I just took authority. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this, according to the word of God." And I take authority, and I pointed at that girl. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did it anyway, because I pointed at her. I said, "I take authority over this." I recognize it was Satan. It was demons. You know, if you get anywhere in your spirit field, you're going to stir them up. They'll start acting up if you get around them. And so I said that. They just disappeared like that. You know, praise the Lord. Now you got to either believe the Bible or you don't. So we finally was able to stop this. I don't know what it was. It was some kind of deal. And it had people, and well, it had three big old guys back there. And so we got him, and my buddy got in with our luggage, and they started eyeing all our luggage and looking at us, and they were talking, and I didn't know what they were saying. And so I just started, my breath started praying, said, "Lord, give me wisdom here. Let me know what to do. I believe, I thank you for protection." And the Lord began to say to me, said, "Yeah, big old candy bar you bought. I don't know whether you've seen it, but it's a big old candy bar, about that thick, about that long. I bought it in London at the airport, and I had it in my day." He said, "Get that out." And so I got it out, and so I broke up a bite and ate it, and then I broke off a hunk and offered it to each one of them. And they smiled, ate the candy, and then I just offered them the whole thing, and they took it. You know, that was it. But I asked for wisdom and know what to do. See, here you're going back to reading the Word of God. It said, if you don't know what to do, ask for wisdom. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're in this vehicle with these three huge guys, and they're jabbering and pointing at our luggage and pointing at us. Come on, hey, I'm not telling you something that I haven't lived. I've been there, done it. It works. All you got to do is know what the Bible says, and then act like the Bible. So, hello. Now you may not be qualified in the natural, but according to God, you're qualified. Hello. If you believe God, He will put you over. You can come out on top every time. See, I want to get you stirred up so you'll move out of defeat into victory. You don't have to live in defeat. You can live in victory because the Bible said you could. The Apostle Paul said, "I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Not part of the time, not some of the time. I'm not hoping to." He said, "I always." Anybody ever read it there? Read it. It's in there. "I always triumphed in Christ Jesus." Hey, if you want to be successful, you got to climb the wall. See, that's what he did. Jonathan climbed up the cliff. Hey, whatever's in front of you, you climb it up, climb on top of it and get the victory. Lynette has a book or something using make stumbling. I make stepping stones out of stumbling blocks. Hey, that's what you got to do. Climb up. See, in order to enjoy success, you got to be willing to take bold action. Come on. You know, find out what God's will is. And this, somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, here it is right here. This is God's will right here. Somebody said, well, God, you know, people talking about God talking to them. God ain't ever talked to me. I said, you ever read the Bible? Because this is God talking right here. Right here is God talking. Okay? All you got to do is read the Bible. How many of you are willing to take bold action and receive victory? If you are, stand up. I want you to say this out loud with me. And don't say it unless you really believe it, okay? But you'll say it with me. I will succeed in life. Spiritually and naturally. I will come out on top. The enemy cannot defeat me. He cannot hem me in. Because I will take bold action. I will find God's will by reading and studying His Word. I will exercise confident faith. To take the victory that belongs to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you just say a bunch of words or did you really mean what you say? If you really meant what you say, God will give you the victory. It only took two guys to win the victory for the whole bunch. Just be willing to step out with God and take Him at His word. The word says you've been healed. The word says He will provide. John says it like this in one of his epistles. He said, when I hear of your affairs, may I hear that you are prospering and being in health, even as your soul doth prosper. See, for it was all dependent on the Spirit first, see, and then the other things are added. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior tonight, I want you to know Him before you leave here. If you need to rededicate your life, you know what it is to serve God, but you're not exactly where you're supposed to be with God. Or if you just go to church and you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ as your Savior or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you right now. Hallelujah. Well, I don't see any hands. We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. Not according to church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if you'd like to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit, we want to pray with you. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Anybody want to be prayed for healing tonight? All right, here comes one. Come on down. Anybody else want to be prayed for healing? Come right on down here and stand right over here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to have hands laid on them for being prayed for healing right now? Just come on and stand right here. We're going to minister to you. You're all right. Come on, stand right here, sister. Praise the Lord. Come on down. Come on down. Stand in line over here. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, you in the congregation, reach your hands out toward them as we pray right here. Father, I thank you right now for the healing power of God. Healing flows in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing power of God flowing. Thank you for the healing power of God flowing in this life right now. Jesus' name. There it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Healing power flows in Jesus' name. According to the word of God, receive healing right now in Jesus' name. Put your hands up and thank God for healing. Thank God for healing. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Somebody said, well, why did some of them stagger? Why did some of them fall? Well, the power of God is tangible. You can't see it like you know. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of it. You can't see the power of God, but you can see the results of it. Somebody said, well, why? Well, I say it like this. When the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be the supernatural. Amen? So that's why people sort of stagger or stumble around, praise God, sometimes fall down. It's the power of God hits them. That's what it is. Amen and amen. How many of you have ever been hit by the power of God? Okay, go get a prayer cloth. Greg's getting it. We're going to pray for his sister. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Acts 19, 11, and 12, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they laid up on the sick and afflicted. They were healed. If he was spiritually left in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay hands on this cloth. Y'all reach your hands out and pray with me. I thank you that the anointing of the power of God is flowing in this cloth. And I thank you that that healing anointing, just like that flowed out to the lady in Mark chapter 5, that the issue of blood, when she touched his garment, the power flowed out of him and went and healed her. Father, I thank you now for healing in this. And I thank you, Father, for all no complications. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, got another one. Hallelujah.
My grandbaby went to Puerto Vallarta over the weekend, and he came back with something all over him, and he's 1 year old.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. The healing power of God flows into this cloth right now. When it is laid upon this child, that healing power will go out and will affect a healing and a cure. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? All the time is the correct answer. That's what they tell me over at the other church in Broken Arrow, Rhema Church, Broken Arrow. This is Rhema Church, OKC. When I say, isn't Jesus wonderful? They respond all the time. Isn't Jesus wonderful? All the time. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, next Sunday night, we're going to be here again, right here. All right. Come believing. Come expecting. Give me. Lynette's going to go to one door. I'm going to go to the other door. We'll shake hands with you as you leave. Thank God. We all, any of you first-time guests, thank you for being with us. Hey, and don't make this your last time. Come back and be with us. We have a great time around here. All right. God bless.